Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Clearly, the subject and central focus of the last section of the book of Ezekiel is the temple, the house of God. Show the house to the house, the Lord tells Ezekiel, and that is exactly what he does in the final chapters. Yet there's a very profound postscript to Ezekiel's vision that is found in the final chapters of the book, and that is the land upon which the temple sits. In fact, the land and the house are the central focus of the entire Old Testament. Recall Jehovah's words to Joshua following the death of Moses as the children of Israel were encamped at the border of the good land of Canaan. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, arise and cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you as I promised Moses. Be strong and take courage, for you will cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." Well, if the temple typifies the church as the fulfillment of the house of God, what then does this land typify? And to help us get the answer to that question as we wrap up this life study of Ezekiel, Matt Miller and I are here together today. And Matt, we've kind of shared duty in this entire life study, but I feel like I've got a full portion of the blessing. This book is really something, isn't it?
Chris, I'm amazed at how much we've seen in Ezekiel. It's become a special book in my heart after this life study. I love Ezekiel, and especially we have a good conclusion today. This is our final program, and as you mentioned, the land is critical because the temple that we've focused so much on is built on the land.
Yeah.
So what is the land that's the foundation of the temple? And as we'll see in today's program, the land is a picture of Christ.
There's a lot of passages in the Old Testament, Matt, that have wonderful things to say in type and shadow concerning the land. I'm thinking of Deuteronomy and even Leviticus and passages in Ezekiel, like chapter 20, descriptions of the land. And once you have been given the key to unlock this vision, all of these things are rich aspects of Christ in our experience, aren't they?
They are, Chris, and as you mentioned, there's many references to the Lord bringing the children of Israel back from captivity into the land. Mm-hmm. Chapter after chapter in Ezekiel talks about bringing them back into the land, and that's a picture of the Lord bringing us back to Christ. And it'll be hard to see as clearly as we'd like to convey it in this program, but a lot of the ministry of Witness Lee was devoted to this one type of the land in the Old Testament being a picture of Christ, and a whole book, the all-inclusive yeah. Christ, was devoted to this. The land is a picture of the all-inclusive Christ for our enjoyment of him in a thorough and all-inclusive way.
Well, Matt, let's come back to Ezekiel now, these last two chapters, 47 and 48. Just picked a verse here to reinforce what we're saying here about the importance that the land plays in these last chapters. In verse 13 of chapter 47, "Thus says the Lord Jehovah, this is the boundary by which you shall divide up the land as an inheritance for the 12 tribes of Israel." And then chapter 47 goes on to describe how the land was allocated, the northern section to some of the tribes, the southern section to some of the tribes. But the key section, something we really want to focus on today, was this middle portion, which was called the holy portion. And of course, that is where Jerusalem is located. That's where the temple was built. And that was really the center of this whole expanded good land that was the inheritance of all the people of Israel. But we want to be focused on what the Lord is focused on, and that's this middle portion, don't we?
That's right, Chris.
All right, here's Witness Lee, and then we'll come back to fellowship.
It's so good to come to the end of Ezekiel. Amen. And at the end of Ezekiel, we have these two things, the holy land and the holy city. As to the holy land, we have to speak something more. We know if we don't have the land, we just couldn't have anything. Without the land, everything is gone. It is so clear, right? We appreciate the temple so much, yet we have to realize the temple is on the land. The temple is just the issue that comes out of the land. So this is so clear that the temple depends upon the land. And today we know the temple is the church and the land is Christ. Without Christ, there's no possibility to have the church. The church is the issue that comes out of the enjoyment of the riches of Christ. Before the recovery of the building, we need the recovery of the land. And the recovery of the land is the recovery of Christ. Christ by himself could never be lost. But Christ in our experience could be lost. The recovery of the land is the recovery of the experiences of the riches of Christ. Hallelujah! The land was recovered, and the house was built on the land.
Matt, we just heard him say, before there can be a recovery of the house or of the temple, there had to first be a recovery of the land. If the land's a type of Christ, obviously Christ has never been lost, but something related to Christ has clearly been lost, hasn't it?
It has, Chris, and that's the enjoyment of Christ. How much we enjoy Christ is what Witness Lee's talking about here. Obviously, you could never lose Christ. Christ can't be lost, but your enjoyment of Christ can be lost. And that's why to come back to the land is really to come back to the enjoyment of the Christ in a thorough way. I mean, it's called a land flowing with milk and honey. So to enjoy Christ as the milk, to enjoy Christ as the honey, this is to enjoy Christ in many aspects. I don't know if we can get into the details of that today because there's so much here. But milk is the product of an animal, a cow, with eating grass. So there's an animal, and so that's a picture of Christ in the animal life and Christ in the vegetable life and coming from the land to produce this milk. And it's the same with honey. It comes from bees and flowers making honey. So when it says it's a land flowing with milk and honey, that's full of meaning. This is Christ in the riches of the animal life, Christ in the riches of the vegetable life. And Christ was even described this way. He was called the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, representing the animal life. And he was called the grain of wheat in John chapter 12 that would go into the ground and die. And as the grain of wheat, he represents the vegetable life producing life in us. And so it's really a rich picture of the all-inclusive Christ that we need to enjoy. And when we're not enjoying him, then we are outside the land. And yet the enjoyment of him becomes the basis and the foundation for the temple to be built.
I think it may be painfully obvious, but still worth repeating. Without Christ, and without the enjoyment of Christ, there can be no church. What would be the point of the church without Christ? And to see the children of Israel entering into and enjoying the land had an issue. And the issue, the product of that, was the emergence of the house of God, the temple. But we said at the beginning of the program, the profound point here is that if we want to be those who are engaged in God's house, who are built up in God's house, who are participating in God's house, and we'll get into that in these coming portions, it's prerequisite that above all, we are really laying hold of enjoying and experiencing him in all of his richness, isn't it?
That's true, Chris. And it's like you said, if you don't have the enjoyment of Christ, what are you having in a church meeting?
Yeah, exactly.
It becomes empty. It becomes hollow. It becomes vain. And it reminds me of a quote. I can't remember the famous Christian who said this, but it's someone we would all respect in our Christian heritage who said that if you enjoy the Lord in the morning, you will end up in a Christian meeting at night. Because the enjoyment of the Lord leads you to be with other believers for the building up of the church.
Matt, it seems without that enjoyment of Christ at the center, then the church becomes, in a sense, much like a lot of worldly organizations, you know, when you have to have programs and you have to have activities and other things added on to take up the time. because there's just a kind of scarcity of what should be the real content of the church, which is Christ himself. Let's look at a couple more verses. These are in the middle part of the book, in a sense, chapter 34, but it illustrates that this matter of the land is a key point throughout the whole of Ezekiel. Verses 13 and 14. Listen, Matt, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land. And I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and their dwelling place will be upon the mountains of the heights of Israel, where there they will lie down in a good dwelling place, and on rich pasture they will feed upon the mountains of Israel. Boy, that really reinforces what we've been talking about, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, here's Witness Lee with our next section.
We all enjoy Christ. From Dan to Gad, all enjoy Christ. But the nearness to Christ is different. Now, the most close ones were the priests. The next to them were the Levites and those who work for the city. And then next to these were the royal family. All enjoy Christ, but the distance to Christ makes difference. The more close you are to Christ, the more important you become. The most important people were the priests. And they were the priests that maintained the fellowship of the people of God with the Lord. The fellowship was maintained by the most close ones. Then you have the Levites. They were next in the nearness to the Lord. And they maintained a service. Service is good, but service is not so good as fellowship. You see, they maintain a service, which is necessary, but it is not so dear, so precious, so good as fellowship. And then the workers for the city were the third that were near to the Lord. They maintained a kind of work for the city. You see, you have the fellowship, you have the service, and you have the work. And this work is mainly for the maintaining of the city, which is the symbol of the divine government. In the temple, you have God's house, God's dwelling place for his rest. And in the city, you have God's kingdom for his authority, for his administration. You have to realize all the things come out of what? Come out of the enjoyment of Christ. All our fellowship, all our service, all our work, all our government, all our royalty, the lordship, kingship, come out of our enjoyment of the riches of Christ. The more we enjoy Christ, the closer we are to him. And the closer we are to him, the more important we are in his purpose.
Matt, now, in this next section, let's come back to what we mentioned earlier on. The land was portioned out to the various tribes in sections, a northern section, a southern section, and the middle section. The middle one was called the holy section or the holy portion because that's where the city of God was and that's where the temple of God was, the house of God. And what we want to focus on in this coming portion is that all of the children of Israel, wherever they were in the land, had a share, had a portion, but the closer you were to this middle portion, the closer you were to the center of God's work and ultimately God's heart.
That's a great picture, Chris. The closer we are to Christ, the more important we are in his purpose.
Matt, I don't want to be at all misleading. Of course, everyone who has Christ, who names Christ, is a full-fledged child of God and has the full benefit of God's salvation. But this picture really does indicate something from a more experiential side, at least, and that is our relationship to him in a very real way, in a practical way, does determine, in a sense, what contribution or participation we have in God's plan and the working out of his purpose, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Chris. And in the Life Study volume is a picture of the allotment of the portion of the good land by the tribes, and showing at the center of the good land and all these tribes is where the Levites are. And so that's where the priests and the serving ones and the workers on the temple are, but it's the closest ones to Christ that are the most important. It's those priests. And so obviously the Lord didn't do this just so we could have a story to tell on the radio. Actually, what we really hope our listeners will be impressed with today is that for their importance to God and their importance to his purpose, they need to be close to Christ. I hope everyone listening right now would turn their heart to the Lord and become closer to him as a result of listening to this radio program to tell him, Lord Jesus, I love you. I want to be close to you, Lord. This is really the goal of the Life Study, is to bring people closer to the Lord for his purpose.
We had a program a couple of days ago that mentioned the sons of Zadok, who were Levites, but they were a particular family that had the circumcision, the general circumcision that all the people did, qualifying them to enter into a kind of service in God's house. But many of the others, even after their circumcision, would still be led astray and join themselves to idols, and they were disqualified from a full portion in their service. And there were certain things in the temple they couldn't do. But the sons of Zadok were faithful, were pure, were honest, and remained consecrated, and in the freshness of that consecration. And then their access to the temple and the things in the temple was unrestricted. We want to have that kind of experience, don't we, Matt, in our life with the Lord, not just the fact that we are saved, we're destined to be with the Lord for eternity, but we want to have a daily living where we're actually in the temple, handling all of the offerings, handling all the aspects of Christ. That's what it means to be near to him in his purpose.
Amen, Chris. I hope that aspiration would be in every one of our listeners today.
Matt, we've come to the final section, not just of our program today, but of this Life Study of Ezekiel. And I like this a lot. A couple of phrases, at least, from the very final verses in the book. Let's read those. This is chapter 48. This is the land which you shall divide by lot to the tribes of Israel for an inheritance, declares the Lord Jehovah. And these are the exits of the city. So now, Matt, in addition to the land, the city becomes a preeminent item. And the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah is there. Those are the final words of Ezekiel's book. The name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah is there. I remember when we began this Life Study, Witness Lee made a strong point of the parallel between the book of Ezekiel and the book of Revelation in the New Testament. And of course, at the end of Revelation, chapter 21, chapter 22, the prominent feature, the outstanding feature, again, is the city of God. In 22, verse 1, it says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." In 21, verse 2, it says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will tabernacle with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them and be their God." The holy city, Matt. Striking, isn't it? The end of Ezekiel and the end of Revelation.
It's a fitting end for this wonderful book of Ezekiel.
All right, here's Witness Lee with this last portion.
According to the last book of the Bible, we all have to be the priests and the kings. Hallelujah. Oh, this is our destination.
Amen.
And this is our destiny.
Amen.
Because we have been predestinated this way.
Amen.
God has destinated us that we have to be kings and priests.
Amen.
Didn't you read Revelation chapter 20? For eternity, we will be the priests and the kings. How could we be this? Just by enjoying the milk and honey. Just by enjoying all the riches of Christ. Just learn to enjoy Christ day by day. If you will not do this in this age, surely you will do this in the coming age. If you will not do this in the coming age, I believe you will do it in eternity. We have been fully destined to the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
Learn to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
Learn to enjoy the riches of good land.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
Enjoy Christ.
Amen.
Eating, drinking, breathing. This is the way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then we come to the city. It's marvelous. It's really wonderful. You can see these two books end in the same way. Ezekiel ends with a city, Jerusalem. Revelation, the book, also ends with Jerusalem. So it is a city. As a city, it is a government. It is something for the administration. And this is the government. And this government comes from the mingling of God with his creatures. And the church has to be like this. The church must be just the mingling of God with men. And out of this mingling, we have the church governed for God's administration on this earth in the whole universe.
Well, Matt, if we had to summarize Ezekiel, we have the land with a city, and in the city, the temple, the house of God. And if we have to summarize the book of Revelation at the end, we have descending out of heaven a new earth with a city, and in the city, the temple, though the temple there is the Lord himself. The parallels are too striking, aren't they?
Yeah, Chris, the two sections that we just heard are really two different things. The first part of what Witness Lee just talked about is how we must enjoy Christ. We have to enjoy the milk and honey. We have to enjoy his riches, and that's to be in the good land.
Right.
That's to be in the land. And, you know, the tribes were all over the land, so anyone in the land can enjoy Christ, okay? But then the second thing is to have the house and the city, which is built on the land, and that's how Ezekiel ends. That's how the Bible ends. God's goal is the house and the city. And I enjoyed the very verse that you mentioned, how it will be called Jehovah is there. I hope that would be the how people would refer to the church I'm in when they come here. Jehovah is there. That's really how we should apply this. Where we meet in our church, is that what people call it?
Jehovah is there. Matt, you know, the city was the residence, the place given to the princes and ultimately the king to dwell in. That clearly represents God's government on the earth. The temple was where the priests were involved handling the sacrifices, really handling Christ himself, maintaining fellowship with God for all of the people. And as he pointed out at the first part of this section, our destiny as the New Testament people of God is to be both the kings and the priests. So we have to really be in the land in a very real experiential way, don't we?
Yeah, Chris, this is our eternal portion as to be kings and priests. He doesn't have another desire for us. That's how it ends up in the Bible. Every believer is a king and priest. That's why he says, if you don't stand in your position today as a king and a priest to take this way, you'll do it in the next age. And if you don't do it in the next age, for sure, you'll do it in eternity, because that's the description in the last two chapters of the Bible.
Matt, the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah is there. I like what you suggest. Let's leave the life study of Ezekiel with those words as our last ones.
Amen.
Good to have fellowship with you as always, and thanks for your help in the course of this life study. That's all the time we have today. For Matt Miller, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you for listening, and thank you for enjoying with us this life study of Ezekiel.